You're gonna have to say your name for me.
Oh, okay. So my name is Shay Vigil.
Vigil, that's right. Okay.
Yes.
So this is Forrest Solis interviewing Shay Vigil on May 28, 2016 at about 1:15 p.m. for the Creative Push Project. Okay, now we're ready.
Okay.
All right, so if you could start as far back as the conception. Planned, unplanned.
Oh, gosh. The conception of my daughter was unplanned. I was in my last year of high school, my senior year in high school, and my boyfriend was in his first year in college. So I actually didn't at the time live with my parents, or I was actually living inside of my friend's house. So at the time, that's when I used to go over to the dorms to see him a lot, and our daughter wasn't planned at all.
So how did you find out? Were you just like, I missed a period?
Yeah, when
science section.
When I found out when I was pregnant, oh gosh. Well, the first indicator was I started to feel some minor backaches, and it was uncomfortable because I have never had backaches at the time because I was 18 at the time, and I've never experienced having a backache before. And when I realized it was really uncomfortable, and I didn't really know what it was at first. Like, I didn't really lift anything, and I was young before, so I didn't, like, lifting things didn't really affect me that much. So just that comfortable pain I felt was something new, and I was just concerned about it. And it wasn't until later on, like, I realized I was late on my period about a week, and that's when I went to go tell my boyfriend I was late on my period. And then the nausea came, and I noticed my sense and smell was more sharper, and it was just horrible. I didn't like the smell of meats. I didn't like the smell of bacon was the main thing I didn't like the smell of. It made me so sick.
It's interesting. We've heard a lot of meat smells, people having issues with.
Yeah.
So were you emotionally when you found out?
When we were emotional, I was emotional because actually I come from my family. My mother was a young parent as well. She had me when she was 16. And one of the first emotions I felt was I was excited, but then I felt like I let my family down a bit again because I'm going to be repeating the same footsteps as my mom. And that I felt like I was kind of disappointed in myself at the time too, because I always thought I wouldn't be that person. But overall, what came over me was I was really excited actually, because I always thought of myself as a mother figure to begin with, because I have two younger brothers. I'm the oldest out of my family. And I have my two little brothers that I used to watch all the time. My youngest brother at the time was 3 years old, so I'd watch him, and he'd basically be, like, in a sense, kind of like my own child. I would take care of him in that way. I'd change him, clean him, bathe him, and make sure he was fed. As the old sister, I'd always watch that with him. And I was excited because, oh gosh, as corny as it sounds, like, you're in that teenage phase where you're like, you feel like you're in love with the person. And I was so happy that, you know, I was going to have a child with me, my first love in high school. So I was really excited about that.
Had you been around pregnant people or seen any births or any had much experience with the actual process of birth, pregnancy?
With the actual experience with pregnancy, I didn't have any experience at all. I only had I had some friends, again, some of my friends actually in high school were, like, way pregnant before me, and they had children earlier, so I only got to observe that at the time. I didn't really have any family members or got to experience. I just heard, and I got to see some process of, like, a baby bump, but after a certain period of time of seeing them, I'd stopped seeing them in high school. And unfortunately, I had some friends who didn't even get to finish high school because they were pregnant with their child at the time.
So how was the pregnancy?
My pregnancy was, oh my gosh, I went through so many unexpected things, I guess. I tried to be as prepared as possible as I could. Like, my mother bought me a pregnancy book. I think it was called, I forgot the title of the book.
Is it like
what to expect when expecting? So my mom got that for me, and I would read it, but I remember I didn't read it a lot, or I didn't read it as frequently as I wanted to. It was actually my boyfriend who read a lot of it before I did. So he would go through and like read before, like when I'm at school, he would go ahead and read a bunch of what's going on. And it wasn't until like I'm showing signs, he'll bring up like, oh, that's what you're experiencing. You're experiencing nausea. You're emotional because of this. And he'd always explain it to me why. I'm like, how do you know this? I'm like, I didn't even get to this in the book yet. Then he would beat me to it. And then I read it. I'm like, oh, you're really involved. So that was nice.
So he was supportive.
Oh, he was. My boyfriend was very supportive with the whole pregnancy. Going to the doctors when we first found out we were pregnant. I guess he did his research ahead of hand, and he went out and found out we either get a blood test or had to go a urine test to find out if we were pregnant. So what he did was he got me a giant cup of like Powerade, and I actually had to. He told me to finish it because most likely he's like, they're probably going to draw blood or make you pee in the cup. And I was like, okay. So I drank this giant thing, and I had to go to the bathroom so bad. By the time we're at the doctor's, and I was pacing back and forth, I'm like, oh, they're going to see us soon, right? And he's like, don't pee yet.
Wait. Okay. Nope.
Okay, but
when, so you're having to pee.
Oh yeah, so I was having to pee, and I was pacing back and forth in the lobby. I'm like, I need to go pee. He's like, don't pee yet. They're gonna have to collect that. And it was funny because the doctor got my information. He got my weight. He got my height. He was asking. I got my age, and just checking in through that process. Then he, right when he saw, showed me the cup, and he's like, I need you to. I'm like, okay, cool. So I just grabbed the cup, and he's like, oh yeah, you're gonna go take a urine sample. So I was like, oh nice. So I was so happy actually to run into the restroom. So that part was easy. And when he told us that what we were already expecting was the signs of what my boyfriend already researched, that we were pregnant with my daughter at the time. And that was just the shock of that. It was really funny. I'm trying to remember how it was just like a really nervous, shaking kind of a feeling, and excited as well. Oh gosh, I repeated your question.
No, you're okay.
Okay.
Did you actually hear a heartbeat then, or did they just get the?
No, they just gave us the slip, and they gave us the slip for the pregnancy and
positive.
Saying that I was positive, the pregnancy test was positive. And that's when he was like, my boyfriend at the time, or my boyfriend now, my boyfriend actually was really supportive from there. Like from the first time we went to go to find out if I was pregnant, to he went to every single doctor's appointment with me. He even had to basically beat my mom to the door to who was going to hear the heartbeat. I had to go back and forth between Flagstaff and to Winslow IHS Hospital because I didn't have insurance in Flagstaff at the time, or I had access, but it was more convenient to go to an IHS. So I had to go to the Winslow Hospital, back to Flagstaff for my wellness, or what do they call my prenatal checkups. So when we were told that you're going to be going in for your ultrasound, I got super excited because I got to see what was actually going around and moving. And like I felt like butterflies or something swimming in my stomach all the time. So I was super excited to go see her and see or hear the heartbeat. So my boyfriend had to beat my mom to the door, basically, to who had to go in with me because they only would allow one person to go in. And my mom was really worked up, and my boyfriend was getting really upset. But my mom, like, came to a conclusion. She's like, yes, you know, you deserve to be in there as much as I want to be. It should be you. So my mom actually let my boyfriend come in with me, and I was super excited. It was cold. I remember when they stuck me inside that room. It was really dark, and the room looked kind of scary. I never have good memories of the IHS, so everything looked all scary in there for me. But when they turn on the monitor. That's when I saw my daughter for the first time. She looked like a little bean. And we didn't know what she was or whether she was a boy or girl. And they kept, it was too early at the time for us to know if she was a boy or girl. And after the ultrasound, when we saw her and saw her move and we saw her, she was too young to hear her heartbeat, but we did have an image of her at the end of the trip when we came back from Winslow. And it was after that we were just talking about it, my boyfriend and I, whether if we want to find out if we're having a boy or if we're having a girl, what we prefer or whether or not what we were hoping for, but we decided that we wanted to keep it a secret. We don't want to know if our baby was going to be or boy or girl. So this entire time, throughout my whole pregnancy, I never knew until she was born of who I was having. So that was actually fun.
How was the pregnancy part? I mean, did you gain a lot of weight? Did you have nausea?
The pregnancy, when I found out, or when I was pregnant with my daughter, I felt, oh gosh, it was funny. I gained weight, but it was, as I was reading your husband or your boyfriend or whoever were supposed to, like, they're supposedly supposed to be gaining sympathy weight with you, or some of them do. But it was funny because at the time I was going back and forth between my house and my boyfriend's college, and his roommate actually was a really good friend of ours throughout high school as well. And he was the one picking up my sympathy symptoms. He was telling me, he's like, oh man, I'm getting sick by the meat. And he was telling me, like, oh, I really want some ice cream. So he'd come up and bring me ice cream or food. And my boyfriend was just like, what's wrong with you guys, in a sense? And it was his roommate and our friend who was picking up my sympathy symptoms with me. So he gained weight with me. It was funny.
How much weight did you put on?
Oh gosh, I gained 40 pounds is what I did. Before I was pregnant with before my pregnancy, I actually, I was actually bad with, since I didn't live with my parents, I was only living with my friends. We didn't really necessarily eat every 3 school or square meals a day. So it wasn't until I moved in with my boyfriend and I had a set home that they're telling me, like, oh, you don't eat 3 meals, but you're pregnant, so you have to eat, right? So my metabolism was really slow. And so when I actually started to eat like 3 meals a day with my pregnancy, I gained weight like crazy, and I was freaking out. I'm like, oh my gosh, I only ate like this. And it was like, or to have so much food was really new to me because I only ate like 1 meal a day at the time. And so I gained some weight, and I think that was just because I really didn't eat right to begin with. So when I was pregnant, my in-laws made sure I was on top of it with my meals, and they were good about it. They gave me like really good nutritious meals. Like they made me like snacks, grapes, and they'll send me to my classes with bananas, apples, strawberries. I craved strawberries, is what I always really liked, and bagels.
So had you had an idea of the kind of birth you wanted to have?
With the kind of birth I was already planning to have, I wanted a kind of more non, oh gosh, what is the term?
Like medicalized?
I didn't want like an epidural or any like medications like that. I just wanted her to be natural and hopefully without complications of a C-section, but I really wanted just a normal pregnancy or like a normal birthing pregnancy. So the kind of birthing process I was planning and I was trying to prepare myself for was just try to stay away from all the medical, like an epidural. I didn't want an epidural. I knew that when I was pregnant with her. And talking to my, what are they called? Midwives.
Yes. Oh, so you had midwife?
Yes.
Was the midwife associated with the hospital?
I had a midwife, and she was associated with the hospital, I believe. She was really great. That was actually once I transferred back from Winslow. We got or I got accepted to be on a different access plan that would be covered in Flagstaff for my pregnancy because I was pregnant. So I was able to be seen in Flagstaff, which made things way more convenient. And I got to be seen, and I had this midwife doctor who was really, she helped us through the entire pregnancy. And she actually made her way and cared for us because we were 18 and 19 at the time. So she was really taking the precautious steps around with us and telling us everything we need to know.
So did you feel confident going into the birth experience, or were you scared, or what were your feelings?
When I was going through the birthing process?
Yeah, like as it started to get closer, how were you feeling?
As my pregnancy was nearing towards, I guess, my 9-month mark, I felt more anxious and excited because my belly was getting bigger and bigger, and I got to see her. I got to see my tummy grow, and it was really cool, and I was excited, and I was scared at the same time because throughout everything, all my family members, all my friends who had children, they're telling me, like, it hurts. And they were scaring me to the point where, you know, I heard some of my friends saying they needed the epidural. That's how bad it hurt. And to the point where they made it really graphic for me. And so I was kind of nervous. I was excited to see, especially who was in my stomach the entire time, because I didn't know if I was having a boy or girl. And as well, I was nervous because I didn't know anything about the birthing process. So I was actually really nervous when, as the time got near towards the 9-month mark, and my daughter's due date was actually supposed to be in November, is when they estimated. So I was looking at November, and my family actually did this hilarious thing where they placed bets to where we had a jar on top of the refrigerator, and it was basically you pay a day of when do you think the baby's going to come. So they stuck a dollar in for either a Monday or Tuesday, and they stuck another dollar in for a boy, a girl, or it's a boy, it's a girl. And they would just buy weeks. So like they'll throw $7 on if they wanted to buy a whole entire week. Like the baby's going to come out on this day. So they bought the whole entire week. So we had this jar of cash going on top of the refrigerator, and it was funny at the time, and it helped lighten the mood, but I was still nervous, and it was really humorous, and it made tensions a little less higher, and it was fun because my family got to see, like, who was right?
So when you got closer to that 9-month mark, how were you feeling physically? Was it during the summer time? Was it hot or was it cold?
It was during the fall.
That's a nice time.
Yeah. Actually, when I was pregnant with my daughter, I have poor circulation, so I get cold really easily. So when I was pregnant with my daughter, I was reading, like, your blood temperature goes up a little bit, or your temperature in your body runs a little tad bit higher. And I was miserable because I do not like the heat at all, so I had either my boyfriend sleeping right next to me, or I had the dog right next to me, or I had something really, or somebody really close. I really hated that because I felt like it was just too hot. So sleeping was very uncomfortable for me. And I was really, oh gosh, I was really emotional over like the littlest things. That was funny. I found out that I wouldn't be really upset about, but it was either something like a Sonic drink I'd get upset about and worked up, and it was my brothers and my boyfriend who had to take the beating for it. And then I had to think to myself, I'm like, why am I so hormonal? Why am I so sad? Why am I so happy? Why do I want to like slap you half the time? So during my pregnancy, my emotional state was really, I had a lot of ups and downs, which was, now that I look back at it, it was funny because I'm glad I had my boyfriend and my brothers that were there to take the emotional beating and to be supportive with me.
So had your mother planned on being there with you, or your boyfriend in the delivery room?
During the delivery, before my actual pregnancy, when my daughter was going to be delivered, my boyfriend and I really wanted to plan actually to where it's just going to be us. and he really wanted it to be where it was just the two of us, and when our child's born, it would be the three of us. And my mother and his mother really protested against that. And I actually did not care. I just wanted to have a successful, healthy baby and a pretty easy birth that I wasn't traumatized to what people were telling me it was going to be like. So I did want the support of my mother there. But at the time, actually, my mother was in Phoenix, and she was actually in rehab. So she was in Phoenix going back and forth from Flagstaff to Phoenix to come check on me. And so she wanted to be there really bad, but I know as the date was getting closer, it wouldn't be predicted if she was going to be there or not. And I got to meet my mother-in-law, and a lot of daughter-in-laws fear their mother-in-laws, especially because I was so young, and my mother-in-law was really intimidating to me at the time, but she was really sweet and she was really comforting, and she was there for me when my mom wasn't able to be there for me. So she provided a lot of support through that as well.
Through the pregnancy?
Through my pregnancy, my mother-in-law provided a lot of support. And so actually as the contractions started early in the morning, I'd say about 3 o'clock in the morning, I felt a hard contraction, and it was so uncomfortable that I woke up in the middle of the night. I went to the restroom, and that's when I noticed like this bloody discharge, and I was like, oh, I read this in the book. So I come back into the room and I wake up my boyfriend. I'm like, hey, I think I had that the mucus plug is what I had. I'm not too sure what it was called. The mucus plug came out. And so that's when he got up. He was like, oh, are you feeling fine? And I told him I was feeling fine right now, but I just wanted to let you know that, you know, it's probably going to happen pretty soon. So surprisingly, I actually went back to sleep. So I didn't feel anything uncomfortable until 3 hours later, around 6 o'clock, or no, 2 hours later, around 5 o'clock, I felt another contraction. And that's when I got up and I woke my boyfriend up, and I told him I can't go back to sleep. This is really consistent. So he got up and he went in and told his mother that we were most likely going to have to go to the hospital now. And she came in and she was ready. She got her jacket on, and she was early in the morning. She got her jacket on. She got everything ready, and she was ready to help me go to the hospital. But my boyfriend protested, saying, like, you know, you have to take my younger sister to school first. You're not going to be able to go there. And if you do, he was just bringing up a bunch of excuses. And I was at the time sitting on this medicine ball, or this therapy ball, on the floor, bouncing up and down, listening to them argue and bicker. And I'm like, I'm in pain. This just really hurts. Can we please go to the hospital soon? And they were arguing whether if she wants, she wanted to come with us. And he was saying, like, we have to go now. So they argued for about a good 20 minutes while I was sitting on this ball on the floor watching them argue when my contractions were hitting. And once my mother-in-law finally threw in the towel, I guess, she told us that she'll call us as soon as for us to call her when we made it to the hospital. During the hospital stay, actually, or we checked into the emergency room, they told us that I was going through the delivery process, I believe. Wait, I forgot my terms.
You're in labor.
I was going through labor. So they come out with this wheelchair, and they took incredible care of us because they... Oh.
You totally forgot the incident. I was waiting for you to bring that whole incident up.
What is it?
So,
like, we'll retract, but, like, right before, like, the whole delivery, 3 months into her pregnancy, you got a UTI and it landed you in the hospital.
Oh, let's hear it. Okay, I'm just going to say that Stephen Yazzie, the boyfriend,
Okay. I totally was rushing this. Okay, no.
You take your time.
Okay. So actually, we came across a complications with my pregnancy, and it was when, oh gosh, I believe I was probably 5 months along in my pregnancy, and I got this UTI infection. And they were just telling me to take care, or just like to drink plenty of fluids. They gave me antibiotics, and it never got better. it got to the point where I actually felt really sick that I couldn't keep anything down. I was throwing up just whatever was in my stomach. It was either the food I ate, mucus, or just the stomach acid. And it was continuously, I couldn't stop throwing up. And during that time, my boyfriend and my family were really concerned because that's when they saw that I was losing a bunch of weight, and actually to the point where I was almost at my pre-weight before I was pregnant. So I had this big belly, and it looked like I wasn't even pregnant at the time because I couldn't hold anything in. And I actually was, my temperature was running so high that I felt cold rather than actually that I was running a fever. So I felt like I had the chills, and I kept telling everybody I was cold. I felt I had to put a jacket on, but it was really hot in the middle of the summer. It was in the middle of July, and I was telling them I was freezing. So I'd try to take warm baths, or I would try to take a hot shower, and I wouldn't be able to get rid of this chill. And it was actually when I had to go to a prenatal visit that was coming up. So it was bad on my part that I waited until my prenatal checkup to see what was wrong. I went into my prenatal checkup, my midwife doctor actually checked on me, and she took my temperature, and she just stopped right there, and she says, you need to go to the emergency room right now. And so once I went to the emergency room, they already made everything clear there. And before that incident, when I first had my UTI, the doctor actually came, or the doctor before that, the first time I went to the hospital, told me it was just a normal UTI, and they gave me antibiotics, and they sent me home. After that, that's when I started throwing up, and I couldn't hold anything down. And so she sent me back to the hospital, and I guess that's when all the nurses already recognized us, and the doctors recognized us from the first time, and that's when my temperature was up. So they had to bring my temp down. They had to give me some, I didn't know what they gave me a lot. But it got to the point where I couldn't walk. They even stuck a catheter in me, and it was really upsetting for me because I couldn't do the basic stuff. And when I think back now, I was really embarrassed too because I had my boyfriend who was in the emergency room with me, and he was freaking out the entire time. And I felt like, I felt kind of embarrassed too because I didn't want anybody to see me in this kind of state. I couldn't simply just walk up and use the restroom. I had to have this tube in me now. And I had to have this tube that was pushing oxygen and like air through my lungs. And it was scaring everybody around me at the time. And I really didn't, the best feeling, or the way I described it was I just felt really shut out. I didn't want anybody to see me like this. And so during that time, it was really scary because the doctors and the nurses were really upset because the first time I came there, it should have been caught because it came back positive for some kind of strand that it was going, a blood infection is what it came to be. And it actually, the doctors, when I first went to go be seen by them, it came back positive, but they sent me home still. And it got to the point where I had to be there.
You didn't see a doctor at all, remember? You just saw a nurse, and then those nurses and practitioners just said, oh, you were fine. And then they just were like, but she's sick. And then
And so all the nurses, and they were doing their best they could. And it was, we just got a lot of compliments, though, I remember, because they were saying, like, your boyfriend's so supportive. You two are so adorable. You two are so young. And I was just freaking out the entire time. But they were being so comforting, and they made everything adjust to where it was comforting. And it was actually really scary during that time because, like, if my temperature went any higher, it would have been basically the sense it became a blood. The UTI went into my blood system. It was going to, I believe they were saying, affect my kidneys, and it would have gotten way much worse than that, and it would have been a blood poisoning almost, typically, I think.
And I think the main thing, too, that was like a double whammy was that she was pregnant, so her body put all of her immune systems and her immunobodies to the baby, so none of it was actually helping her, so she was already sick, and she was staying sick because all the things were there helping the baby at the time.
Were you scared for the baby? Oh.
I was terrified, actually, because that was the main thing. They're like, the baby's fine. They were really just concerned about my overall health and try to get me back up because everything they give me a bunch of potassium because I was low in potassium. They give me something to help me with my anemia because I was anemic already before my pregnancy. So they were trying to get me back up to my health, and my daughter, or the baby at the time, the baby was fine. It was just like they were trying to get me back to going to where I could be able to get this giant mask off my face because it was pushing air through me, and I hated that because it made my lips dry, I could feel it in my throat, and my boyfriend was trying to shove ice through the cracks because it was just so bad. And it was supposed to be an overnight stay, but it ended up to be 11 days long. I was staying in the hospital, and the only way they would release me is if I had
Like a little ball. It was like a little tube thing that she breathed in, and the ball moved up, and they could scale. And they could see if you're up to right here, then that's just a normal person. But you need to be up here showing that you can breathe normally on a normal function base, like every day to day. Like at the lowest point, that's like someone who has like 50 years of like smoking cigarettes, and that's where she was like blowing air. So
I know exactly what that is.
Yeah.
So how did you get to that point? Like, explain that.
I was getting, or where they gave me that device, or this, oh gosh, I forgot what it was called, but this air device.
It was a tube thing.
They gave me this tube to kind of help practice, like, oh, you need to be breathing through this, and you got to try to get this ball on I think it was like a scale from like 1 to 20 is what it was scaled at. But they were telling me, once you get that little ball up at least past 15, then you're okay. So every day I'd keep trying, but I only got it at the bare minimum, and I was looking at that. I'm like, I swear I could blow through this, but my lungs weren't working with me, and I was really anxious to try to get out of the hospital because I've always been hospitalized since I was little, so it was no fun. And when I finally got to the point where everything was clear and everything came back positive, that I was okay and I got rebound, or I kind of just came back up and I perked back up, that's when they were ready to discharge me. When I actually weighed myself, or they weighed me before I was getting checked out, I was like 5 pounds off from my pre-weight, actually. So I lost a lot of weight during that stay. Within that, it was only like a 2-week process, but all of that was scary, actually, because I didn't look like I was pregnant, and I just see this giant belly, and I was scared because I didn't know whether or not, I was really concerned of how the baby was and all the medication they were doing and what they were giving me, that I was hoping that I didn't infect the baby at all. Because I was, during my diet when I was pregnant, I tried to keep everything clean. I didn't try to drink a lot of soda. I didn't do a lot of those, I didn't do a lot of bad foods. I always try to eat healthy, or I try to stay away from certain things. And so when they gave me all these medication, I was just really worried, actually, for my child.
Could you feel the baby moving at this point?
I did feel her moving. When I was in the hospital stay, I felt my daughter moving, and I think that was like really comforting, along with my boyfriend and my brothers being there checking on me. That was what really helped me and helped me recover afterwards too, when I got out of the hospital. But during that time when I was in the hospital, feeling her move was just knowing I was going to make it, she was going to make it, and I was excited when I got out of the hospital finally.
Yeah, I think at that point it was just kind of like, it was really like she really put her all into the pregnancy as far as taking care of herself. Like every single day we went for walks and she kept active. Like, you know, we hear about some pregnant women, like just from my mom, saying that some people just pregnant and they just stay on the couch and don't do anything. They have a really hard delivery, so we made it upon ourselves, and she was the main one that made it upon herself to make sure that we had that active lifestyle, even though we were pregnant. She was pregnant.
Did your mother-in-law kind of coach you on, healthy ways and what it's going to be like and all that?
My mother-in-law actually helped by telling me what to expect, like the graphic side of like what will happen to your body. And she was coaching me basically on how, I don't think my family or my in-laws actually knew what the proper amount you were supposed to have when you were pregnant, so they just gave me a bunch of food. But they were pretty good about it, except for my sister-in-law, which cooked. She tried to cook everything with butter. Like, she was like, it's for the baby. I'm like, no, it's not. You're just you're eating for two. And that's always what I heard. And they'll just give me these foods. I'm like, I just need it. I think it was like you only needed 500 or 800 additional calories, but they were giving me like four or three meals and like back to back. But my mother-in-law kept me consistently, like, but snacking on the healthy side, and my sister-in-law was trying to feed me chocolate and everything else. But it was really funny to see what each of them were doing. But my mother-in-law was really helpful, and it wasn't until they were arguing that who got to go to the hospital with me. So
yeah, let's pick up there again.
Oh yeah.
So how long was the drive? Were you close to the hospital?
So,
10 minutes away.
Well, yeah, we actually live not too far from the hospital. We're about like 10 minutes away, so it was like around 5 o'clock in the morning when we started heading up to the hospital. Once we got into the hospital and they took us into the labor, a small little area that's not quite the labor room, but they took us in the small
triage.
They took us in the small triage room. And they were monitoring us. Everything was fine. And the nurses recognized us from when the first time I was in the hospital. And they were like, oh, my gosh, you guys are back. Are you excited? They just kept asking all these questions. And they were so happy. And they saw that my boyfriend was still there. And they were super excited. And they were just adorable. They were so helpful. They kept offering Steven juice packets and crackers. And they're checking on him as much as they were checking on me, and they were giving us the best care that they possibly ever could from that last scare that we had in the hospital. And it was strange, actually. They told us that the pregnancy was going to take, like, I probably wouldn't deliver my baby until maybe 5 or 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the evening. And so we're there at 5 o'clock, like, oh, geez, we got like 12 hours left. So they checked how far along I was dilated. I came into the hospital when I was 4 meters dilated, and they're like, oh, yeah, it'll be a while. So they come back again 20 minutes later, and they check me, and I jumped to 6. So they're like, oh, well, okay. So once you get to, I think they were saying 7 or 8, they'll take me into the actual labor room. And by that time, it was like close to 8 o'clock. Oh, no, it had to be like around 8 o'clock. That's when they checked on me. And then they came back again, and they saw me shot up to 8 centimeters dilated. And they're like, holy cow, let's get you in the labor room. And they took me in there, and I stayed in there for a while. I'm like, oh, geez. It was really – we got this nice labor room. And
like,
I don't –
it was deluxe. Like, they knew who we were. They messed up on their thing when they, like, when they messed up her UTI, and they're like – we better show these guys some good quality pregnancy room. Like, our window had like the perfect image of the peaks, and then there's like birds and deers outside, and like, it was nice.
Okay, how about you describe it?
So when we went into the labor room, they actually gave us this really nice big labor room, and it even had those cool little baths, those jet baths they have in there. And my boyfriend at the time was looking around at the other labor rooms. He's like, oh, this is the nicest one in the hospital right now. And he was all super happy checking on there, like looking at all the cool fancy things that we have in our room. And I was like, I'm in pain. My contractions are hurting. And that's when my contractions were more intense. And my boyfriend was just like, look at the view outside the window. It's the mountains, the San Francisco peaks. And during that time, actually, it was in October, so the leaves were changing on the mountains. And it looked really gorgeous, but I couldn't really focus on how nice the mountains were looking. And my boyfriend was actually, like, running around back and forth, getting different things for me. He got me that, the exercise ball, the giant inflatable ball, because that helped me a lot when I was at home to help me sit through and practice some exercises. So that really helped a lot. So he brought that in, and I tried bouncing on that, and my contractions were hurting so hard, or they were hurting so bad, actually, to the point where I felt like I couldn't do that. But I typically have a high pain tolerance, so I would try, like, right after I didn't find the exercise ball helping, I tried to find something else. Like, maybe I can walk. Maybe walking will help relieve some pain or tension. So I tried walking, and I stood up. I'm like, nope, I can't walk. So I sat back down. And my boyfriend wanted to test out the bath. So he got the bath going on in the bathroom. And once I was in there, he stuck like half of the bottle of soap in there, and it was like super bubbly, and I was he was just excited to mess with it. So I hopped in there, and that's when I realized that my contractions felt more dull, and they didn't feel as sharp and painful. So I sat in there for like a good 10 minutes, and it wasn't until the doctors told us to, like, hey, you know, now it's time for you to get into the bed. We'll check on you to see how far along you're dilated. And during that time, actually, they had me hop on the bed. I guess at the time they took my boyfriend into the hallway, or the doctor took my boyfriend into the hallway, and my midwife showed up, and I didn't know that yet. So I was sitting in the bed, and I guess they were talking outside in the hallway that they were going to break my water. And I was actually, like, I was at the right dilation for them to break my water for me. And so he comes in, and he's all super nice, but he looked really nervous. So he was on the side holding my hand, and I didn't know what they were saying in the hallway. And my doctor came in, and she tells me, like, oh, well, right now you're going to feel some pressure, and I'm going to put some pressure on your stomach just to feel how the baby is and to feel, she put her hand on my stomach to feel.
Yeah, you might as well tell it totally stops.
Okay. But she felt my, she put her hand on my stomach to feel how the baby was doing and to show me, like, basically where I'm going to be feeling most pressure from. And that's when she had me up on the table, and she told me to kind of just relax. And she was just talking to me, like, okay, what we're going to do. And she made it sound like it was going to happen maybe at a certain time, or she made it happen because I was already expecting 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the evening, or I was thinking of a later time that I was actually going to be having my child or going through the actual labor part. But when she was explaining this to me, she's like, well, when your water breaks, and she broke my water, and she was telling me this, I'm like, oh my God, my water broke. And she broke it, and that's when my contractions hurt the most, I believe, because it just felt like some raw pressure just pressing against me with no, at least with my water, it felt like there was some cushion or barrier with those contractions, but I just felt the contractions full on, and they were really painful. And once I realized, I'm like, holy cow, she broke my water. And reading all the books I read about, I'm like, this is it. This is the actual labor part. So I was completely clueless until she broke my water. And then she was just telling me, like, what the process was and to actually start to push. And my boyfriend was freaking out, but he was trying to stay there on the side. And he was telling me, he's like, good job. You're doing a great job. And he was trying to make phone calls at the same time. And one of the nurses that got really close with us recognized us, but she was so sweet. She actually got one of those camera, got a camera. So she was taking pictures of us the entire time. And it wasn't until, the doctor broke my water at exactly 10 o'clock. So the active labor part of me actually, me pushing my daughter out, was 26 minutes long. So when my daughter was, when all, everything kind of just stopped for a moment. I remember when I was pushing, I felt just this immediate pressure come off, and for a split second, everything was quiet, and the doctors were quiet, and they just, I was nervous within that tension that was for a little bit of the room being quiet. But that's when I heard my daughter sneeze. And they were looking at us, and they just crack up. And they're like, oh, yeah, she's breathing. And when she sneezed, we heard her cry. And her cry was so, it was so new. It was nothing I never thought I would ever, it was like a unique sound of just somebody that was with me this entire 9 months in my stomach. And once I heard her sneeze, it was this tiny little sneeze sound, and followed by this little just cry. And my boyfriend was already, he beat me already around there. He was just like looking, and he was wanting to hold her, but the doctor looked at her, and my boyfriend and said, like, oh yeah, whoever won the bet with whoever had won the bet of a girl, basically. But like, oh yeah, so they were super happy. When Oh, gosh, I can't even talk right now.
Take your time.
Okay. But when the doctor actually saw my daughter, and she was really excited, so because, like, she was really sweet, and she kept commenting how young we were at the time. And so she's like, oh, yeah, so you guys have your surprise. You got to meet your daughter. And when she put my daughter in my hands, I don't know. It was this really... Every book I've read, as much as I want to say, I try to mentally prepare myself. And when I look back, taking care of my brothers and try to be mothering to them and try to mentally prepare myself, I thought I already knew how it was going to be like. But I didn't know until the exact moment my daughter touched my arms and I was holding her. And she was quiet for me. She just she stopped crying, and she was this little... swallowed up in this bundle. And when I looked at her, and when she touched my arms, I didn't know how to explain it so much, but I just remembered, I just felt these tears coming down my face, and I had no control over them. But when I felt them come upon me, I just looked at her, and I was so excited to finally meet who is going through changes with me at the time. And I finally got to meet her for the first time, and the first thing I hear from her is a sneeze, and the first image I see of her is just this calm face, and all the features I didn't really know that were developing inside me. Her nose, her tiny eyes, lips, and everything was just so tiny. And when I was looking at her, I was very, very excited and happy that I finally have her in my arms. And through everything I've gone through, an emotional abuse through my childhood. I've been through physical abuse through my childhood, and I've been through, I had no home. I had to live with my friends at the time, and I had to go through therapy and counseling because I have all the, this abuse I've been through way before I was pregnant. But when I looked at my daughter, like, none of those things that mattered anymore. I have her now, and she pushed me a lot to strive to be who I wanted to be. I know I didn't want to put her through anything that I had to go through. I know that I had to show her everything I've been wanting to. I want to show her the best things in this world, and I want to be able to protect her from everything, and I want to be able to grow with me because I'm still learning too. And just having her there, I realized everything I've gone through, everything that every negatives in my life that has come across, it didn't matter. It didn't exist. And at that time, it was only the three of us in that room. It was my family in that room, and that's when I knew my future was going to start, was with her right there.
That's really good.
That's so good. Yeah, that's sweet. Yeah, that's really powerful, you know, and I love this concept of growing together. You know, no one's used that phrase before, and it's so true, because you really are growing and changing together, you know, and you're becoming new people that now have this new family. And how introducing that new life really does change that whole family unit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like makes this bond, right, mm-hmm. that didn't exist to the same depth, you know. Yeah, you really articulated that beautifully.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to add? A lot of times we'll ask people, like, towards the end, is there a word or a phrasing of words that kind of summarizes your experience, like when you reflect back on it?
Oh, gosh. Reflecting back on it, I think now I have my daughter. She's 5 years old, and she's going to be starting kindergarten this year. And looking through everything I've done with her and my boyfriend up till, like, she was just in my stomach, and thinking far back to when my boyfriend and I had to go through our ups and downs of when we first started seeing each other. And I look through it all, and I realize, as much as my life I thought at the time was really messed up, and my mother being an alcoholic, and I never really had a real home. But now having this, something that I've created and something that I have, all the good, the bad, the uglies, it doesn't really matter anymore now, because it really just matters what you do with it today and what you want to handle it. I really don't want to go back to thinking of anything, if the world owes me anything, because it does. The world doesn't owe me anything at all. It's what it kind of what I make with it, with my family. So now she's my motivation. She's there to remind me to take my keys. If mom, do you have your keys? Do you have your wallet? Do you have your phone? Mom, do you have my lunch? And I'm like, oh yeah, thank you. I'll forget something on the table now, here and there, and she'll remind me. She'll help me. And I'm looking at this, and now I have something to strive with. And now I'm growing with her, and I get to experience all these things with her. And I'm the one that's able to show her all these first time experiences. So it's very exciting. And having her now in my family, I feel that no matter how bad everything must seem, you know, this tiniest thing, or there's always good in something, no matter how small, that's always something I strived and held on to that kept me going. And it was her this entire time that's kind of made me who I am today, and who pushes me and motivates me to do my best in everything I do.
That's great. Excellent. All right. Would you like to add anything?
Oh, it was an emotional roller coaster through it all. It was, I guess, like, as far as like, when we found out, and then when my family lectured me in their own way, it was interesting, just because my mom was also a young teen mom as well. She had my older sister when she was 14 and had me when she was 16. So, and she came off the reservation, and she was still with, you know, she did everything with my dad, and my dad was kind of like that leading figure. Like, you know, they both had to work together, but they didn't do it for each other. They did it for their kids. And, you know, because of that, that helped me with that role model to, like, not give up to, you know, there's a lot of people out there that kind of give up on their kids and their family. And I just didn't want that for my family, that family that was, you know, that was slowly coming day after day. And, you know, I stayed throughout the entire pregnancy. You know, we had ups and downs. We, you know, even after, you know, the pregnancy and after the birth, we still have ups and downs, but, you know, I think the main thing was just to keep going at it. You know, I think we both use each other and Natalie as our motivation, I guess. And I think that's something that we have we've really used. My parents inspired me. Shay herself has inspired me through her own stories that she's told me. And I think just together we inspired ourselves. I mean, I just graduated with 2 degrees, so I think it's just kind of like, you know, you can show people that if you're devoted enough, you can be a young parent. There's these challenges, and it's not easy, but it's possible. And at the end of it, you can still get yourself educated. You can still get, you know, you can still end up on the high road, but just don't give up so easily. And I think that's just something that we've initiated in our own selves with great family support, with each other. And I think overall, it was just, you know, it was fun. So yeah, it was fun. And I think how she was telling the story, like the night of, or the morning of the birth, everything ended up how it was supposed to end up. Like, I didn't want my parents and anyone else, I didn't want her parents to be there, because like, you get enough Napa women in a room together, they'll start yelling and they'll stare, everyone will get mad and say, you're not doing this right. So I already knew how much stress that was going to be, so I didn't want that. And they're all going to be yelling at me because I'm the guy and I have to be there. And I know I'm going to be there, but I kind of made it upon myself to say, like, you know what? We're going to do it ourselves. And it ended up exactly how we wanted it. You know, it was just us in the delivery room. I called my parents after the birth, and they showed up within 20 minutes because, I mean, they work at they work here in Flagstaff, so they were able to make their way to the hospital pretty quickly. Her mom showed up later on that day. And then it was cool too, because after the birth, I was only there for like about 8 hours, and then I took off back home to clean up the entire room. I vacuumed the carpets. I also extracted them. I got the baby center, the baby area ready. I moved everything around. I took her younger brother with me to get everything ready, and I didn't come back to around 9 o'clock that night back to the hospital. And she was, it was funny, one of the funniest comments to this day was funny. She's like, you know, Steven, I'm really tired. And I was like, yeah, of course you're tired. You just push out a baby. I haven't even woke up at 5 o'clock this morning. And you've been up this entire time. She's like, oh, I guess you're right. And it was just really funny. It's just the whole thing ended up how it was. We got this great room. The birth was excellent. And the birthing time met up with the date of the day. She was born on 10/26 at 10/26.
Can I get you to say that
too? Okay. I even forgot to say how we thought of Natalie's name.
That's your
name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep going.
So when Natalie was born, actually, it was October 26, 2010. And when they broke my water, it was at 10 o'clock. And the actual labor of me pushing her was 26 minutes. So when we had her, she was born October 26 at 10:26 a.m. And oh my gosh, it matched up perfectly. The doctors and nurses were so cute. Again, they were like, oh my gosh, congratulations, you guys did it. They were holding her around. They wanted to hold her, actually, when they were done with everything. And they were really excited because they were really involved during the times we saw them in the hospital. And when we thought of Natalie's name, actually, it was really, we were thinking of names so, when we were pregnant with her, as the date was getting closer, we were thinking of boy names and girl names, and we didn't know what we wanted to call her yet, or him at the time. So we thought of boy names we liked, we thought of girl names we really liked. And I spent, actually, I realized, a lot of time picking out a girl name than I did with a boy name. And it wasn't until she was born, we realized that Natalie would be her name, because we didn't know anybody by the name Natalie. We've never met a Natalie in our lives, and I don't want to associate another, a face with a name, so she could start her own story there. And the reason why we named her middle name was really special, was because her and I share a birthday week. She was born October 26th. My birthday is October 20th, and autumn is my favorite time of the season. It's my favorite season. So we had this nice, beautiful view of the mountains, and it was autumn time. And so we knew her middle name was going to be Autumn. So her full name is Natalie Autumn Yazzie. And it's nice now because I have a nice little ring. It has a ring to it. So when I get onto her and she knows she's in trouble, I can call her full name.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I love that. Oh, I think Autumn's a lovely name.
Yeah.
Wonderful time of year. Oh, yeah.
Autumn Design.
There you have it. All right. Anything else before we turn off?
Do you think you have anything else said? I don't think.
From that day of Natalie being born, I think the only time that was kind of cool, because it was just that morning that the three of us were together, was later on that night when I came back at 9 o'clock, and then we were getting ready for bed and we kind of fell asleep. I woke up later the night prior, almost around 11, because I heard Natalie in her bed. She's going, oh, oh. And she wasn't crying, she was just making this sound, and it was just funny. And I picked her up, she had these big old eyes, and then Shay kind of woke up, and then all of us kind of just went to the bed. We fell asleep. It was kind of cool because it was just we started the day with all three of us, and then we ended the day with all three of us sleeping together. So it was one of those things that I kind of kept in my own mind. That was really sweet, and I think that was just one thing. So, the last thing I'll say.
It's very sweet.
Also, Steven picked out her outfit.
No, yeah. the next day when we were leaving the hospital.
We made a deal. I told him he could pick out his... I told my boyfriend, Steven, that he could pick out the baby's outfit, because I got to pick out mostly everything for the overnight bag. and he felt left out. I'm like, you could pick the outfit then, because we didn't know if we're having a boy or girl, so we tried to get these neutral colors. And he came back with this boy hoodie, and it was a dinosaur. And he's like, I don't care if we're having a daughter or a boy. He's like, the baby's gonna wear this. And it was like, it was brown and green, and it had this dinosaur spike tail all the way down its back. And it was a hoodie, and it was this cute little newborn onesie, and the whole outfit. And I was looking at this, I'm like, okay, so I agreed to that, and we threw it in there, and I actually packed another outfit in there hoping that he'd forget about it. But when we were going in labor, he threw that outfit back in there, and he remembered that deal I made him. So when we brought her home, she had this pink hat and this dinosaur outfit.
Yeah, it was.
So.
I love it. Okay. Steven, I'm